it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And a good Friday evening to you. Ah, yeah, folks. 9 floors up in our Midtown Atlanta studios. Sam Crenshaw along with Chris Parker. Dom Jarowski working on the side of the glass. And our crew that will be out around the area tonight. Welcome into the Scoreboard Show. Week 4 of high school football. We're 4 weeks in.
4 weeks in, Sam.
4 weeks in.
September.
Right.
You know, and in high school football.
The calendar finally changed.
In high school football, August is an important month.
Yeah.
You know, in the NFL, they're starting in September. College, maybe or maybe not late August or September. But high school, most teams play 2 or 3 games in August. And that's kind of like your preseason. I mean, the games count. But now we're in September. Every time the month changes, got to ramp up the intensity a little bit. Same thing with October, November, and ultimately in December, right? So it's September. You got to get a little tougher, getting a little bit tighter. We're going to see some region games tonight. We're going to see some final non-region games tonight. We're going to see some teams trying to make steps in this next month.
Yeah. And as a coach now, what does that allow you to usually get 3 games in? What does that usually allow you to do?
Well, you want to look at the season in different phases.
Right.
Okay? And so every team, for anybody listening doesn't understand how it works, you have a region, and however many teams you have – that many games. So if you got an 8-team region, you're going to play 7 games, and you got to pick up 3 games. If you got a 7-team region, you're going to play 6 region games, you're going to pick up 4 games. So there's not a defined number of games. You can't say 3 games in or 4 games in. But whatever your region schedule is, you want to get to there a certain way. First, healthy.
Right.
But
right.
Also at a certain clip where you've been tested, you've had success, the young men have confidence, but they also know they got to push themselves. Can't get bullied around like Alabama.
Dumb. Ooh, whoa, wait, hey, whoa, where's that coming from?
Still mad about it. But the Dragons won last week.
We weren't expecting to hear that tonight.
But nevertheless, you have to use those games, Sam, to really get better, to fix as many mistakes as you can, because in football, and especially in high school football, the only thing that counts to win the state championship starts with your region schedule. And it matters for feelings. And it matters for fans, and it matters for confidence. But when you enter that region schedule, that's when you got to start winning. That's when they're going to place you in the top 4 in your region, at least in 4A and up. Top 4 in the region, go to the playoffs. Those teams compete for the state championship. So you're really looking at that line of demarcation being when we move into region play.
Yeah.
And so there's some teams this week starting region play, and there's some teams playing their last non-region game, and you really got to see some things get cleaned up. You want to have all your special teams. You don't want to have these penalties. You don't want to have this kind of mismanagement things. That's what you're looking for in September.
That's what we're watching for. And that is what we'll be watching for in our games tonight. Boy, what a slate of games. I'm talking about where Grayson's going to be in action tonight. They got Mallard Creek coming from North Carolina.
Yeah, Mallard Creek's good. That's a standard-like program of North Carolina. We talked about last week. Grayson's going on a tour of the Southeast.
And playing the very best.
They took out Alabama's defending state champs last week in overtime. Mallard Creek is a perpetual state championship type team in North Carolina.
Right.
Who they got next? They got Florida.
They may get somebody
Utah,
from Florida.
Wisconsin. Bring them on.
We're taking them all on.
Now, me and Sam don't intend to coach or play in the game, but we're going to talk trash for them. Bring them on.
All roads lead to Grayson. Let's take them on, right? That's one of the big games at tonight. Number of other games tonight. Buford's at home tonight with Roswell. We're going to get into that one as we go along as well. And then another game that's going to be on GPB. Matt Stewart's going to join us in just a few minutes. They have Cartersville and Calhoun. That's a big game going north on 75. Well, that's Cartersville. You're not going far enough to get to Buc-ee's. You have to go to Calhoun to get the Buc-ee's, right?
Yeah, Cartersville doesn't have the Buc-ee's.
Yeah.
But they do have a phenomenal record in the regular season the last 12 years or so. We're going to talk about that some tonight. But – they don't have the Buc-ee's. That may be the one thing.
Yep.
But you know what Calhoun does have on Cartersville?
What's that?
They are the defending state champs in their class.
It's true.
They got that cup.
Yep.
GHSA State Championship Cup, and Cartersville wants hasn't had in a few years.
Yeah.
So it's a big step. But that's a non-region game. That had been a region game previously. Calhoun dropped down in classification. So now Cartersville 4A, Calhoun 3A, they continue to play. That's a non-region game. Nobody's really losing tonight in that game for the season. Nobody's losing the war tonight in that game.
But there's some good things can come out of it if you win but it.
Both teams really, really want to win it. You really want to see your guys compete. Because for Calhoun to defend their state championship and for Cartersville to get to a state championship, you got to see who can play that level of competition. And so you're not going to get that test every week if you're that caliber of a program. So Cartersville and Calhoun, big game. A lot of games up 75 over the years, back and forth between those two places.
Yeah.
But only recently with the Buckeyes. You brought in the new – that's the new part. That's
something new.
Yeah,
that's
the
something
Buckeyes.
New. Yep, you want to watch into that. That's up there. That's up there. All right, we're going to got a preview coming up here. Let's go into our opening drive.
It's time for the opening drive, brought to you by Baron Burton's W Sauce. Bigger, better, bolder. Visit thewsauce.com.
Yes, that is so true. Baron Burton's W Sauce, bigger, better, bolder. Visit thewsauce.com. My goodness, game we always catch up with Day Day, wherever he's going, and he is traveling for a game out east tonight.
Where's he going?
He goes Social Circle.
Social Circle.
Now they got that place you love to eat out there, but it's not quite open, not reopened yet. You
what is
out there? Blue Willow.
I don't know about that.
Oh, we got to go there.
Blue Willow.
Yeah.
I'm writing that down.
They might have some.
They're like Hunter's Pub.
I don't know. I've been to Hunter's Pub. We have to go.
You take me to Blue Willow.
Okay.
I'll take you to Hunter's Pub.
Hunter's Pub. Okay. Yeah. That's a deal. Let's check in with Day-Day. He's got a preview of his game today.
Time now for the pregame sideline reports.
92.9 The Game's high school scoreboard show is on. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And we'll head out to the WadeFord.com hotline right now, where Coach Patton is joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coach, first off, I want to say thank you for taking time out of your day, and congratulations to you and the guys on the start of another season. You know, just talk about, first of all, man, how things have been going for you through these first three games.
Oh, first off, thanks for having me, Damon. I appreciate you talking about our kids and our program. So right now we're sitting at 2-1. You know, we started out the year against Oglethorpe and came out on top with a big win. You know, traditionally the last 5 or 6 years, that's always been a close, you know, one score ball game when we're able to play very well to start it out. Game two, we played Warren County, and that was a game where it was back and forth last year, and they came out on top at the very end, and we were able to come out pretty strong. We had a long lightning delay, so the game was kind of a little funky in that regard, but our kids played well. I think we came out 35-8 in that one. And then this past week, you know, we had a back and forth game with Kip Atlanta. They're a talented football team that's much improved from last season, and you know, we got down pretty big coming out of halftime. You know, with the third quarter, we were down by 17. Our kids fought back and made a comeback, and we took the lead back in the fourth quarter and couldn't hold on there and ended up coming up short. But, you know, it was good to see our kids fight back through some adversity and, you know, not phone it in and quit when we got down. So right now we're sitting here at 2-1.
As you mentioned, Coach, you're off to a 2-1 start this season, and through these three games, man, you've really been getting some good production on both sides of the ball. How important is it for you to see both your offense and defense kind of being able to get off to good starts early in the season?
Well, you know, it's just important just in all three phases, offense and defense and special teams, just to see that improvement. So, you know, there's going to be some weeks to where we got to score some points depending on who we're playing to get some wins. And there's going to be some games where we face some teams that are, you know, ball control and run heavy teams to where we got to get defensive stops and, you know, pull out close games that might not be as high score. So just, you know, right now we're trying to get as many kids playing on both sides of the football to try and build our depth. You know, I kind of feel like in years past we've done a lot more, you know, 10 guys playing both ways outside the quarterback and feeling like it's kind of cost us near the end of the season when we're worn down towards playoffs. So we're just trying to do our best job right now of building that depth, especially in these non-region games before we get jump into region play here in a few weeks of, you know, seeing who can get it done and see who will step up and do that job on both sides of the ball.
All right, and you just touched on your quarterback, QB1, Remy Farmer. This past game he really seemed to find his groove in the passing game. Talk about what you're seeing from his progression when it comes to leading your offense.
man, just an incredible job as a leader. He's one of the hardest workers on our team. You know, he's kind of the guy that we, you know, as coaches turn to when things are going bad, to talk to the guys and, you know, get them refocused. He's done a great job in that regard. You know, he's explosive with his legs. You know, earlier on, I think against Warren, he had a, you know, over 100 yards and some touchdowns there running the football. Last week, it was more in the passing game. But he's just a kid that, you know, he can do what you want back there. He makes good decisions. He can run. He can throw. And he's done a good job leading the offense so far.
All right, last one before I let you go. Coach Rob Patton joining us here on Prep Sports Nation Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Head coach, Social Circle Redskins football team. Let's talk about Friday night. You guys get ready to take on a Whitfield program that's looking to gain some momentum. I think they're 1-1 on the season, and they'll be coming off a bye week. And like you said last week, despite it being a loss, it was a very competitive game for you guys. What's going to be key for you guys having some success to get back on track?
You know, Whitfield is a very talented and very well-coached team. You know, I know they had the one loss earlier, but it was to Savannah Christian, who's really one of the most talented teams, especially in lower classification football. You know, and they played those guys extremely tough. You know, they're well-coached. They're disciplined. They're not going to, you know, turnovers and offsides and stuff like that. They're not going to commit those kind of mistakes. So we're going to have to play disciplined football and, you know, be physical. Last year, you know, they jumped on us pretty early, and I feel like we regrouped a little bit over halftime and came out and put up a better fight in the second half. So the big message all week has just been to come out quarter one, you know, don't dig ourselves a hole, play disciplined, play physical football. So.
All right. We thank Day-Day for that preview of the game coming up. You'll be checking in with us from the game tonight. Whitfield Academy taking on Social Circle a little east of town. They play some serious football down there.
Yeah, Whitfield Academy and Social Circle, pretty underrated game tonight. Not one you maybe have on your radar at the state level, but both teams have one loss. Both teams are pretty good. Someone get that second loss already. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a problem, but Whitfield, I think kind of sneaky good.
Okay.
Yeah, sneaky good.
All right.
Yes. It might turn into our pick of the week.
Ooh, maybe. Pick of the week, that's coming up top of the hour. You want to stay with us for that. But up next, we're going to check in with Matt Stewart, GPB. Going to be up in Cartersville tonight for the battle between Cartersville and Calhoun. We're just getting started, folks, on this Friday night. It is the Scoreboard Show, the high school scoreboard show, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Counting down to kickoff. We're a little over an hour away from the kickoff for most of the games around the state of Georgia. Of course, the folks down in South Georgia like to start at 8 o'clock, but most folks start at 7:30. And there are one or two games that will start before that one. We got a couple of games here in the city of Atlanta, one that kicked off at 5:30. Another one will kick off in about 5 minutes over at Lakewood Stadium. We'll be checking in as those scores come in and get you updated here on the Scoreboard Show brought to you by Ingles. We started doing something last week, Coach. About on the rise. We call them out on the rise players. People maybe flying below the radar. And I got a couple. Marvin James, GHSA, is nice enough to send us one. He's always keeping an eye on folks down in the center part of Georgia. From Crawford County, C.J. Anderson last night, just 11 carries. Just 11 carries. 334 yards and four touchdowns. And Crawford County got a win. We're going to keep an eye on him. They beat Kendrick last week, 49-14. David Friedlander is up at Gainesville Times. He has a young man, Dylan Haley. Dylan Haley is a Cherokee Bluff. Let me see it. 4 total tackles, interception, 2 pass breakups in the game for Cherokee Bluff last week. And he feels like he's someone we want to keep a watch for. In the loss to North Hall, he still have a great game. So let's keep an eye out for these guys as we get these, you know, the guys who flying below the radar a little bit.
On the rise. You know how I get my on the rise information?
That
mostly comes from Mr. Matt Stewart, yep. And he has something called Make This Kid an Offer or something like that. I mean, the guy, I don't know how he keeps up with all this, but I'm really impressed with him. Yep. And coincidentally,
he just happens to be the guy we're going to talk to now.
How about that?
Joining us now on the WadeFord.com hotline. He's up at Cartersville for the nice game with GPB. First one of the season, Matt Stewart joining us. Matt, welcome back into the Scoreboard Show.
Yeah, glad to be back. Excited to be back here on GPB Sports Football Fridays in Georgia.
Yep, thoughts about that. You do, you know, you do have the segment called Make That Kid an Offer, where you we look at some of the people that we don't hear a lot about. Anybody jumped off the board for you that you can think of so far this season?
Well, there's a couple of players here playing tonight that I put on my – a couple of weeks ago, I named my GPB Sports Make That Kid an Offer All-State team. And so the caveat was you can't have a D1 offer. If you got a D1 offer – and you got to be a senior. If you're a junior, you know, you still got time. If you're a senior, though, time's of the essence. So that's kind of the caveat as to the qualifications to make that kid an offer team. And, you know, the quarterback here for Cartersville tonight is on that team. He's the winningest individual athlete in Cartersville history. And I said, oh, hold on a second. When Connor Foster, their head coach, told us that the other day, I said, what about Trevor Lawrence? He goes, yeah, but he's counting quarterback wins and pitching wins. This kid's a prospect. He's a bigger prospect in baseball than he is in football. I think Nate Russell would like to give football a shot, but he hasn't got any football offers. He's rated as high as the number 16 right-handed pitcher in the state of Georgia for the class of 2026 with a 91-mile-per-hour fastball. And so kind of by default, which is not necessarily a bad thing, he might end up going the baseball route. But he's on that Make That Kid an Offer football team. Also, the wide receiver for Calhoun, Justin Beasley's on that team as well. He had a phenomenal season a year ago, 70 catches, over 1,000 yards, 18 touchdowns. He's on my, you know, the preseason All-State team as well for 3A, and he's only got offers, nothing against Campbell and Shorter, but they're not D1 offers, so he qualifies for the team as well.
Matt, I'm looking at this matchup, and I love this matchup. Calhoun lost last year and was 1-3. They go on to win the state championship. Cartersville is an unbelievable regular season. Is it possible they're even underrated in the regular season? They are 129 wins and three losses since 2012 in the last 14 seasons. This is the 129-3 in the regular season.
Well, here's another stat that'll knock your socks off. It's applicable to tonight's game. Since 2011, they've had one regular season home loss here at Wineman Stadium.
One.
And it was the game that we televised back in 2022 when Calhoon beat them in triple overtime 50-48.
Mm-hmm.
And they have no regular season home losses since 2011.
Mm-hmm.
That's longer than some of the kids, maybe the freshmen, have even been alive that'll be, you know, suited up tonight.
I mean, that is unbelievable. It's something you don't hear much about. But Calhoun is one of the teams that can beat them.
Yeah, they did. They beat them back in and this will be the first time they played here at Wineman Stadium since that game. The last 2 years, they've played at Calhoun, and Calhoun, they beat them at Calhoun last year 35-13, and that was part of that aforementioned 1-3 start you were talking about. So, yeah, the Yellow Jackets roll in here tonight with a 13-game winning streak after, dropping to 1-3 last year. And you have to also remember, when they dropped to 1-3 last year, it was not a good situation there in Calhoun. I say that kind of facetiously, but they missed the playoffs in 2023 when they went 6-4. Most times 6-4 gets you in the playoffs, but because of the region, they didn't get in 2023. It was the first time they'd missed the playoffs since 1999.
Mm-hmm.
So they missed the playoffs in 2023. They start 2024 1-3, and like Lazarus, they are resurrected from the dead, and they win the state championship, beat Jefferson 20-7 in the 3A state final.
Man, spending time on the WadeFord.com hotline here on the Scoreboard Show with Matt Stewart. Always great to spend some time with him. He is social. You can find him at Matt Stewart TV at Matt Stewart TV. All right, around the area, around our region, who's jumping out to you? We see Grayson. They lost their quarterback. They still go out and get a win. They got another tough test tonight. Buford, they're playing tonight. Got their big place they're playing the games in so far. We got Douglas County got a big game down at Langston Hughes. Who's been grabbing your attention so far?
Well, all three of those games stand out to me. So, number one, Grayson, I mean, what a monster Grayson is. They lose Travis Burgess, and I hate to see that. You know, he was my 6A All-State quarterback, and, you know, he goes down with that leg injury, so he's done. But this will be the third consecutive big-time out-of-state opponent they've played. They started by – well, I count Raven Gap as out-of-state because even though it's in the North Georgia Mountains, they play in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So – Well, let's just take it back to where they started. They opened the season by destroying Collins Hill in the revenge game, 51-3. Collins Hill, the only team that beat them last year and ranked in the top 10 when the season started. Then they bring in Raven Gap, which if folks don't know, that's a boarding school that attracts athletes from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they typically have 4, 5, 6 kids from Germany and all over Europe come over there to learn the American game of football and try to get scholarships. And I think they won the North Carolina Independent Championship last year. And so they played them and beat them. And then they played Thompson last week, which is just the beast of Alabama. They've won 5 of the last 6 state championships, and they beat them last week, 24-23, very similar to the way they beat them last year over in Alabama. Last year, they beat them in overtime when Grayson goes for 2 in the win and got it. This year, Thompson tried to go for 2 in the win in overtime at Grayson, and Grayson stopped the 2-point conversion and beat them, turned the tables on them. And tonight, you got the number one team in North Carolina out of 8A classification, Mallard Creek, in town to play Grayson tonight. They've just played a beast of a schedule. And quite frankly, they have to. The region, they just destroy their region. I mean, they don't get a whole lot of competition in their region. So they got to play these tough games, you know, and they got to go out of state to do it because not a lot of teams in the state want to play.
Matt, we get you out on this one. This is more of an overarching question. You go all over the place. Is there any place that just stands out as one of the best environments, something you just really look forward to going to that place?
No, I don't know. I mean, this environment is pretty cool. And by the way, right now, just a weather report, it's raining pretty good here, and we're in a lightning delay, and they told the fans to leave the seats, although they haven't done that. But we do have a little bit of a rainstorm going on here with some lightning in the area, so this game might – hopefully it won't be delayed at the start, but it could be because of what's going on here right now in Cartersville. But this is a great environment right here. I mean, when you talk about the winning streak and the dominance at home with one regular season home loss since, 2011, the super environment, one of the things I love about coming here, and we talk about that with Connor Foster, their head coach, the big city, they have an Olive Garden right down the street. The big city's coming to Cartersville.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but it's still got a small town feel to it on Friday night with the high school football. This is their team. You know, this is, here in Cartersville, it is the number one team. It is, it's like their college team. It's like their pro team, even though Atlanta keeps, reaching its tentacles out here and trying to grab it into the metro Atlanta area. And in a lot of ways it has. There was more traffic here coming into Cartersville today than I've ever experienced. But, it's still got that small town feel to us. That makes it very special.
Yeah. Well, that's a nice game coming up at 7:30. Who all is going to be in on the call, and who all are we going to see tonight, part of the crew? Hey, Matt.
Did you ask me something? I'm having a hard time here.
Yeah. Who all are we going to see tonight as part of the crew, as part of the GPB Army tonight?
Oh, wow. We just had a big bolt of lightning here. Ooh. So thanks. Who are we going to see tonight? You talking about particular in this game to keep our eyes on?
No. Who are we going to see in the cast? You got John Nelson out there with you.
Yeah. Got Wayne Gandy, of course.
Yeah.
I love my intro for Wayne Gandy. Auburn Tigers All-American. Started all 4 years, of course. NFL first-round draft pick, L.A. Rams, back when, Georgia Frontieri owned the team. They were out in Los Angeles the first time. And then, of course, 15-year pro. Played with the Steelers, played with the Saints, played with the Falcons. I mean, you don't get much better than that. And he's a great guy, and he really loves Georgia high school football. And John Nelson will be on the sidelines with me. That's our crew tonight.
Fantastic. Well, look, we appreciate you spending some time with us tonight. You guys have a great call. Hope that rain blows through and you are not going to be delayed.
Yeah, it just got a little bit, like I said, just got a little bit worse. We'd heard about lightning. We hadn't seen any lightning. Now we saw some lightning. So it's getting a little rough right here right now.
All right. When you guys hunker down, stay safe. And when it all clears up, we look to see a great football game tonight, man. Have a great call.
Yeah, man. We're looking forward to it. Thanks.
All right. That is Matt Stewart up in Cartersville. They got some weather coming through there.
I thought maybe it was just us. That always
yeah,
had
really.
The lightning games.
Yeah,
I mean, Don may not know, but every game Sam and I call,
it follows us.
It rains. I mean, we're on a 2 or 3 game losing streak.
Oh, no, I'm aware. I'm usually with you guys.
Yeah, you're with us. So, you were with us. Yeah, you can verify. You're just with us in this studio.
Yeah.
And in that case, Sam and I are not in the studio.
No.
We're getting soaked.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you know, we
nice
don't have
warm.
We don't have that Matt Stewart, Rusty Manziel connection. They got us like in the corner somewhere with a folding chair, just getting drenched. And 30 more minutes. Yep. Every time you saw lightning, 30 more minutes.
Reset
baby.
That clock, baby. Reset the clock. That's what they're doing.
I don't wish any ill will for Matt on that. I'm just saying, I thought it was just us that had to deal with that. So I know. We know his pain.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Hope for the best for them in getting that game started, underway up at Cartersville. All right, folks. Coming up next, hey, Coach's Checklist. That's coming up. You stay with us as we count down to kickoff on this Friday night on the Scoreboard Show, High School Scoreboard Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. It's the Scoreboard Show as we count down to kick off the games of week four, high school football action here in Georgia. We're less than an hour away from kickoff. Glad you're with us. Great spending some time with Matt Stewart, and hopefully the weather blows through up in Cartersville. And that was probably affecting a number of games up in that region. Hopefully it won't cause any lengthy delays and they'll be able to get that one going. But as always, During our game, it's our walk up to games. We always like to check in with Chris Parker with the coach's checklist.
Time now for Coach Parker's coach's checklist.
As Coach and Chris Parker give their analysis of this week's biggest stories, brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Get any sized air conditioner for only $69.99 per month. Visit reliableair.com.
All right, Coach, what do you have for us? What do you have for us tonight, Chris?
I'm going to school you guys up a little bit today on some situational football.
Okay.
Okay, situational football. And we got three really unique situations. I'm going to try to do some situational stuff the next few weeks, but okay. This isn't your regular, like, third and long, third and medium, third and short. We're talking about, I'm going to give you some unique situations today for the first installment of this.
All right.
I'm going to give you three things that can happen in a game that a lot of people don't even know can happen. Okay? So the first one is what we like to call first touching, or sometimes called illegal touching.
Okay.
Okay, so anybody listening to this, every now and then, you see this. And somebody will be like, what happened? So a team is punting. So my team is punting to Sam's team. And we punt, and we go down there. We're kind of lazy. We just tap the ball. Or the ball bounces off our leg and still rolling. Mm-hmm. And the ref hadn't blown the whistle. Sam can pick that ball up, and he gets a choice of wherever he picked it up or wherever the play happens. Nothing bad can happen for Sam. Nothing bad. You ever see the play? There was a play, I think it was Mississippi State a few years ago, where the ball was just sitting there. A kid picked up, ran for a touchdown. They gave him the touchdown. Everybody was freaked out. That was legal. Like, first touching. If the kicking team touches the ball.
Right.
Now, this usually happens on accident. So say one of the guys on the team running down there to cover the punt, it just bounces off their leg.
Right.
You tell your punt returner, pick it up no matter what. Because even if you fumble, even if they score a touchdown, we can bring it right back to right there where that guy touched it. Nothing bad can happen for the punt return team at that moment. A lot of people don't know that. Okay. So if the ball hits, and I was always proud, our kids understood that. So our punt returner understood, if the ball ever touches them, just go get it.
Okay.
Because if you mess around and scoop it up perfect and get 3 extra yards, that's 3 yards. If you get a touchdown, it's a touchdown. But if you do something horrible, we'll get it right back where it touched them. The ref will throw a beanbag. We're good. Nothing bad can happen for us.
Okay.
It's all bonus from then. So that's called first touching. You'll see it. You'll see it happen
every now and then.
Every now and then.
It's rare. Very
rare.
And
you'll wonder what happened. But if it touches that punt team, nothing bad can happen for punt return team at that point. Okay. They get the choice of whatever the end result of the play was or where the ball was first touched, right?
Okay, okay.
Number two. He's going reverse order of weirdness. Number two, taking a safety. Now, you see this one. I mean, this isn't earth-shattering for football people, but you don't see it that often.
Right.
And you think, well, when would somebody take a safety? Like give up 2 points and punt to the other team? You know how football works. I mean, Dom knows he likes the Steelers. They get some safeties, and they score 2 points all the game. So he knows about safeties. So you take a safety where you tackle them in the end zone.
Right.
Your team gets 2 points, and you get the ball. So it's really a very rare scenario where you, my team, is going to give Sam a safety on purpose. So what would that situation be? Well, in the NFL and college, it would basically be when you were up six. You're up six, okay. Or maybe more than six, but okay. You're up six. You can't be open less than six because you don't want to give them a safety. You're up five, you give them a safety, now you're only up three and kick a field goal on you. So you got to be up six. There's got to be very little time left, and you're way backed up. So we got the ball on like the minus 6 yard line.
Okay.
And if I'm up six.
Right.
If I punt it to Sam, he's just going to catch that punt about midfield, run about 10 yards. They're going to have the ball on the 40. If they go down and score a touchdown, they beat us. It's late in the game, right? It was like 30 seconds left in the game, okay. 45 seconds left in the game, something okay. like that. If I just take that ball and run out of the back of the end zone, now I'm only going to be up four, but I get to kick off, and I can put you further back, and there's still only 30 seconds left in the game.
Okay.
And you still got to score a touchdown to beat us.
Right.
So we didn't give up anything, and you gained some yards. You get that, Dom, for when the Steelers do this soon? Okay. So that's a rare one. But how many times – this is the thing people – some people have watched their favorite team play, and they have sat there and cussed about tackling
mm-hmm.
and gotten all upset about effort, even though they didn't even really know what the guy was supposed to do, and gotten all mad about running it up the middle, whatever that means.
Yep.
But they let their team not take a safety and didn't call them out because that does happen. You'd have been better off just to take a safety than to give it right back to them at midfield – and let them go down and score.
Come down and score. Right.
So, number one, that was 3-2-1, if you know. I was keeping, you know, counting down to the weird things that can happen. Number three, first touching. Number two, taking a safety. Number one, the absolute weirdest thing. And only the real football people will get this one. If we got some real football people listening,
yep.
They're going to, like, message us about this one. I only saw this one time in an NFL game, and I think it was last year, 2 years ago. First time it had happened since, like, the 60s or something. And I wasn't even around then, Sam. Free kick.
Okay.
Free kick. You know what a free kick is? Free kick means, it's just a weird rule they wrote into football a long time ago they never got rid of. And every now and then you see it. High school coaches know this because they can do it in high school every now and then. It's a little bit harder in the college, a little bit harder in the NFL. That's why you don't see it. But the Chargers, Jim Harbaugh, of all people,
okay.
did one last year if you want to look this up. Here's what a free kick is. If your team, this is what the rules say. If you fair catch a punt, so Sam is punting to me. Anytime in the game, it doesn't matter where we're in a game, the rule is this. If you fair catch a punt,
okay.
then I can run my kickoff team, kickoff, not extra point, kickoff team out there from that exact spot. And if I kick it through the uprights, it's 3 points. That's a weird rule now.
Very much.
And you think.
That sounds strange.
When in the hell would anybody do that?
I don't know.
Well, it had to be one scenario. Because most of the time, you think, well, why don't people do it? Well, because if Sam's punting to me, first off, you got to be at like midfield or in to be able to even kick it through the uprights, right? So you got to be at like the 50 or in. And if you catch a punt at the 50, you just want to play ball. You don't want to give it. Because remember, if you miss the field goal, they get the ball back, right?
True.
So 99 out of 100 times, or more like 999 out of 1,000 times, you wouldn't fair catch a punt and then just run your team out there and try to kick a field goal. Unless it was the last play of the game.
Okay.
Or the last play of the half. And so every now and then, it happens more at the last play of the half. I think the Chargers did it on the last play of the half. So it's the last play of the half. Say Sam's got the ball on the minus six. It's 4th and 10. Minus six meaning he's got 94 yards to go. He's going to punt it to me. He doesn't have a very good punter. So I'm telling my guy, look, I'm putting two returners back. I'm putting two back. And I'm telling him, because you got to fair catch it.
Right.
If it hits the ground, you can't do this. If you return it, you can't do this. Got to fair catch it. That's what makes it so weird. So you tell those two guys, fair catch it, no matter what. So Sam's at the six. He doesn't have a very good punter, so he punts it 30 yards. He punts it to the 36. My guy fair catches it. I'm running my kickoff team out there. Sam looking around like, I thought we was playing offense. But I'm running my kickoff team out there. I'm telling the ref I want a free kick because there's only 3 seconds left on the clock.
Okay. Okay.
There was 10 seconds left before. You punted. Now there's only 3 seconds left. I fair catch that thing. Kick it through the uprights. 3 points, baby. Look it up. Jim Harbaugh. Dom's got to look this up to prove me wrong. It happened last year. I'd never seen this in an NFL game. I was going wild. Real football people were going wild. But ball knowers, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Real, like, deep ball knowers were going wild. You said in high school, though, we practiced it every – we didn't practice it every week. Some people practice it every week. That's probably too much. But we practice it a few times a year. Like, our kids knew that was a rule.
Okay.
What do you do on the other side? Like, what should Sam do in that situation? Sam should kick like a rugby kick, kick it on the ground.
Okay.
Can't do it.
Wow.
See what I mean? You got to fair catch the punt. It's got to be a regular punt. You got to fair catch it. Then you run your team out there. You do it. So if there's 10 seconds left in the game or 10 seconds left in the half,
right,
you punt that to me. I fair catch it. I run the kickoff team out there, kick it through the uprights, 3 points. If you miss it, you don't get, you know, no problem. Going to halftime, free kick.
Free kick. Free kick.
Somebody listening knows what that is. Free kick. Illegal touching or first touching is really what that is. First touching, taking a safety, free kick. That's a checklist right there, Sam. Now, we got out there a little abstract tonight.
Right.
I mean, sometimes we just talking about why you go for it on fourth down.
Are you talking about unique, unusual situations that do exist?
Well, like in Belichick, I know he's had a rough week.
Woo!
I mean, a rough one.
Hey, now.
Sam's can't see us, but Sam and I are wearing our light blue in honor of the mourning of poor Coach Belichick all week.
Whoa.
But that's the kind of things he would have gotten right. I mean, and Jim Harbaugh's good. They would have known when you're up six, let's just give them the safety. You know what I mean? That's the better move here.
Okay.
And a lot of people don't. I mean, it is a real thing. People have, even in the NFL, definitely in high school, college, people mess that up. You know, they don't give their team the best chance to win by not understanding some of the unique things that come up in a game.
Hey, and folks.
That's Coach Checklist by Reliable Heating and Air and on the Eagles Scoreboard Show and all that.
And, of course, if people want to find out more, there's always Parker Resources.
Yeah, parkerresources.org. Got some tips and daily tips and all kind of resources, things like that. I mean, I wrote a book, 100 Football. Probably the best book I have is 100 Football Situations, where I give you different situations to run through and what to things to consider for each situation like that.
Going to be our theme for the next few weeks, more situations?
Yeah, we'll do some more. I won't be able to do that. I can't top that for weirdness. I can give you some tips on what to do on fourth and long or something like that. Yeah.
All right, that's coming up in the next few weeks. Headed for the top of the hour, and we're going to get you our pick of the week. I got a game, and Chris is going to have a game. And then we're going to check in with John Bednarowski, Marietta Daily Journal, talk about what's happening out in Cobb County. And our school day's guest, Reggie Wilkes, legendary Southwest Atlanta team. He's one of the new inductees into the High School Football Hall of Fame. That's coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. We're a half hour away from games kicking off around the state of Georgia and around the metro Atlanta area. And we'll tell you all about them here tonight here on the High School Scoreboard Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.